The reading comes from John 19, verses 25 to 27. And there were standing by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and also Mary Magdalene. When Jesus, therefore, saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own household.
Woman, behold thy son, behold thy mother. A word of compassion. Jesus thought of the needs of others even in the times of his greatest difficulties. In the garden, at the time of his arrest, he expressed his concern that his disciples be released. On the cross, he was sensitive to the needs of the penitent thief. The writer of this gospel records that in the last hours of his suffering, Jesus thought of his mother Mary and sought to ensure that her needs would be taken care of in the future. The human author of this gospel, many who affirm that it is the disciple whom Jesus loved, John, the son of Zebedee and Salome. Some suggest that one of John's purposes in this account of the circumstances surrounding the crucifixion was to refute the heresy that denied the true humanity of Jesus. For there were those who believed that Christ only seemed to be in a human body and to suffer and to die on the cross. Each of the Gospels records the presence of faithful women at the cross. Although there seems to be some debate about the number of women, many scholars support the view that there are four. And taking this position, they would be Jesus' mother, Mary. And we learn of her not from John, but from other accounts. The second would be his mother's sister, Salome, most likely Salome, the wife of Zebedee, the mother of the writer of the gospel, making the writer the cousin of Jesus. Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. These women are introduced to provide the setting in which Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing near. In his suffering, nailed to a cross, even in the excruciating agony of crucifixion, in his bearing of the great load of sin for fallen humanity, in the midst of his own physical pain and struggle, Jesus looks down on Mary, the woman who had been with him always, the woman who was the vessel that God in heaven had used to deliver him to mankind, the woman who had raised him, nurtured him, loved him. Here, his humanity is most vivid. He recognizes and has compassion with her suffering, with her grief, her agony, and he sees her need. This one who is giving his life as the sin offering for the entire world also sees the need to provide the immediate care of one individual person. Jesus, in his own agony, did not forget the practical responsibilities of a son. Jesus, this immanent God, this transcendent God, woman, behold thy son. Some scholars suggest the word woman used here by Jesus emphasizes Mary's humanity. Woman was a term of tenderness. And Jesus used the same term. John records it in chapter 2, verse 4, at the wedding at Cana of Galilee. Some affirm, however, that the point here is that there is a difference in the kind of relationship between Mary and Jesus that is not normally expressed in other writings. There's an unusual relationship in these two. Jesus seems to be asking Mary to look upon John as her son in his place. He wanted her to be cared for with love. But the logical question is, why not Jesus' blood brothers? Some suggest that John 7:5 gives us a clue, that Jesus' earthly blood half-brothers are not yet believers. And although John and Jesus apparently have this close blood kin association, for if John is the beloved disciple, if he is the son of Zebedee, if he is the son of Salome, and if Salome is Jesus' mother, Mary's sister, making John Jesus' cousin, why do we have this kind of relationship? Why does he turn to this one? And I would suggest to you that the selection of John is far from being an arbitrary decision. And it's even far from being a human kinship relationship decision. But in reality, is an acknowledgement of the part of the reason that John is designated the beloved disciple. He is apparently the only disciple at the cross. The others have fearfully hidden away. I contend that if Jesus' earthly blood brothers are not yet believers, perhaps Jesus desired that someone close to him in spirit and dedicated to his mission be the one to look after his mother in her need. Jesus commends his mother into the hands of his true brother, a brother in the faith. You recall the story recorded in three other gospels. While Jesus talked to some people, his mother and brothers stood outside desiring to speak with him. And someone said unto him, "Behold thy mother, and behold thy brethren, stand outside desiring to speak with thee." But Jesus answered and said unto him that told him, "Who is my mother, and who are my brothers?" And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, "Behold my mother and my brothers. For whosoever will do the will of my Father who is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." John is more than a blood cousin. John is a true brother. Jesus has no problem as the eldest son who would normally been responsible for the basic responsibility of looking after his mother, assuming that Joseph is dead. Jesus had no problem in turning to John and saying, "Behold thy mother." Jesus, being the compassionate one, desired to leave her in the most capable, most competent hand he could. And the scriptures affirm that, and from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. Jesus knew that John would be the kind of son that Mary would really need. Jesus knew that John didn't have to go to church or go someplace and pray about it. He didn't have to call a church business meeting I'll call a deacon council, or if you will, a disciples council, to analyze whether they could help Mary or not. He, John, was a true son, and Jesus knew it. Jesus knew that his mother would be in good hands. In his agony, in his suffering, in his pain, on the cross of Calvary, Jesus does not forget to remember.